Hello, welcome to episode 3 of Killer Crawl Space. Like I posted the other day, this is going to be a local West Virginia case, and pretty local to me. Huntington's about an hour away, but this episode's featured on Leah Hickman. Most of you probably know, she disappeared, you know, back in 2007, on somewhere between December 14th to December 15th. I would preferably say December 14th from everything I've read, because she was last seen December 14th in 2007, and she failed to show up the next day at her shift at the dress barn, and she was, I think, if I remember correctly, let me see in my notes, she talked to her dad, and then she got something to eat at McDonald's later that evening. Her sister, her half-sister that she shared the apartment with, seen her around 2 to 4. I guess she went to McDonald's around like 5:40, and then something about her mom tried calling her and never could get through. Like, the voicemail was full, like, by like 9 p.m., so you're looking at probably 6 to 9 o'clock range. But what I found interesting, you know, it's been 10 years and nobody's been arrested for it. You know, so, basically, she's 21 years old. She's a journalist at Marshall University. Like I said, she shared an apartment with her half sister. She's 5'2", 130 pounds. She was a small girl. Like I said, she disappeared on the 14th. Let's see, trying to think. Let me go through my notes I've been writing down. She had been roommates with her sister, from my understanding, since like fall of 2006. So that'd be, you know, a little over a year. They said she did want her own place, from what I've read, and she stayed around to help her half-sister with the rent. But I also remember reading, too, that her half-sister's ex-boyfriend, when he went overseas, where he was in some military service, that's why she moved in with him. What makes this really interesting is, you know, she disappeared, she was missing, and she was not found for a week. And the crazy part about that is she was found in the crawl space in the basement of the apartment. Like, I know some people kind of speculated that, you know, her body was put there after they searched and all that, which some dogs you may not just picked up. I know they, let me double check. I think they said the dogs picked up a scent, but I'm kind of wondering if they backtracked, because the scent came from in the apartment and then it went out to the driveway where area she parked her car, and then the scent went away. So I'm wondering if the dogs backtracked. So if they would have started from outside, it would have followed inside to where she went to the apartment. Well, her room in the apartment. But, like I said, she was found a week later. She was in plastic. Now, I've read that supposedly this plastic only her half-sister could get or something where she worked. I don't know. But I know that her half-sister is a suspect, but because they said from how she acts. I haven't been able to watch the videos, can't find the videos. But she gave, like, interviews and stuff on TV, and they said that she eventually changed her story. Whether she did or not, I don't know. You know, but people react different to, you know, when they lose somebody. Excuse me again. But I've been told a couple different things. But they said there's numerous entryways to the crawl space. I've heard it was, like, on the ground, like low to the ground, you had to like be looking for it, you know, to find it. And then somebody said it was like above your head, so you had to basically pick something up over your head and put. So if somebody done that to her, you know, that's got to be some strength there. So you'd be thinking a man. Let's see. From my understanding, she had been strangled, and no signs that she was sexually assaulted. And the police felt that it was not a random act, and that they felt whoever, you know, killed her knew either her or at least the apartment layout. And they were waiting in 2008 on DNA tests to figure out what was going on with who it possibly was. But like I said, we're here in 2017. Nothing's ever been further with that. I read on a few different things, and some of the suspects, like I said, like I mentioned a few minutes ago, her half-sister has been mentioned, and her half-sister's ex-boyfriend, because they said Leah didn't like him, and something about she would hide when he came in, well, like, came in the apartment. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. And they said, too, while he was gone, and when he came back from Iraq, that he actually found out that, I guess, Leah had his stuff thrown out. So, maybe, maybe not. I guess it could be possible, but... see, the stepdad was brought up. Supposedly, I don't know if this is true, they said he was a child rapist. So, whether he is or not, I don't know. Some feel that it was a worker that took care of the building. So, a maintenance man. The maintenance man, I don't know who would have, what maintenance man it was, but I've heard a few people mention about a maintenance guy taking care of the building. Because from my understanding, it was four apartments in the building. I've only been outside of the apartment. Let's see. Four apartments, two was empty. Her and her half-sister lived in one, and a guy lived in another one, but he was not here when all this happened. So it was just when Leah disappeared, her half-sister left to go spend time with her boyfriend. Not the same guy that, you know, people suspect that murdered her. And it was just Leah in the apartment. See, I was talking to a couple ladies, and they mentioned about a guy named Chuck Ginger. I don't know much about him, but they said that I guess he stalked women and used fake profiles and stuff, and one of the names he used was Leah Jennings. And then he used another one that dealt with Leah's... professor, but he used it Trip Swindell, and Leah's professor was Chris Swindell. And supposedly he done maintenance work on the apartments. And like I said, I read about a weird maintenance guy. Is he that weird maintenance guy? And I'm guessing they went to the cops about it from how they talked, and that he, like, after Leah died, he went to North Carolina, South Carolina, and then he came, then they basically found, because I guess they talked to some of his ex-girlfriend stuff, and he came back here and then found out the cops, you know, was, I guess you can kind of say looking at him for a suspect, and then they found him dead in a hotel building. A hotel room. So, you know, that's a very possibility. It could have been him. Let's see. Because they also thought he actually killed more women. See, he had women in his computer files. He had another whole thing of, like I said, all these women that he stalked and, like, all that. So, supposedly, he might have lived across from Leah as well. And they said he had a stalker... rule thing, a 5-year rule. So, you know, it's very, very possible. I know one person was brought up, a guy that she went on a date with. I was able to get a hold of him a while back, earlier this year. And, let's see. The only thing he really told me, he went like on one or two dates with her. And, he said he knew her, but not well. They had a mutual friend in college and met just a few times. and said that he only met her twice and he didn't know anything besides what was in the news. So, you know, wasn't really much to go on there. There was a rumor going around. Supposedly she called her dad a couple days and said she was moving back home. I've kind of read further into this on another source I found that she did call her dad about coming home, but not like permanently. It was more for, you know, it was December 14th, so it was more for the holidays. Not like she was permanently moving out, leaving her half-sister behind. I also read, too, the floors were possibly bleached. Don't know for sure, but from my understanding, I haven't been able to confirm it, but it's been from a couple, multiple sources that the half-sister and her Leah's mom, which I guess be her half-sister's mom, I'm not sure how, I think they got the same mom but different dads. Yeah. They stayed in the apartment that whole week after she went missing. So, did they just clean, you know, just have something to do, you know, just... Because I could understand that if they clean and stuff, just... Because I'm sure that weighs heavily on your mind when, you know, you have a daughter or, you know, your half-sister go missing. So, that could be a possibility. But then there's another possibility, because some felt that the family knew who the killer was. So could they, if they did bleach the floors, like the rumor states, was it just to cover up evidence? Who knows? So that's kind of where you're at there. But one of the things they were talking about, they interviewed, I think, the mom, if I remember correctly. And she was talking about, you know, being there for the whole week. I guess they were there, too, in case anybody showed up, you know, unless Leah showed up or somebody showed up, say, hey, you know, give me some flyers to hang out and, you know, just be in an area where people can come to and do stuff for them. So, according to one thing I read, that the, somebody said that the back door, I guess, downstairs with the laundry, well, washer and dryer and laundry area was that where they'd done their laundry at, that the door always stayed locked. The only people that had access to that, this is the basement, were actual residents. And that was where they mentioned the strange maintenance man. One thing I thought was kind of strange, it kind of goes back to the whole Samantha Burns thing. Somebody talked about Bobby Adkins killed Samantha Burns and Leah Hickman. You know, I like, we know Chad Fox and Brandon Basham, you know, were charged with Samantha's murder. And I just kind of found it, you know, strange and odd because, you know, where I've been really involved in Samantha's case, you know, the past couple years, and then start researching Leah's case a little bit, and then, you know, Samantha's name pops up. So, so it goes back to, more with the apartment. Somebody said that an individual who lived there claims the maintenance man at that time was letting himself into Jessica's apartment, which that would have been, that's, well, Jessica's the name of the half-sister, Leah's half-sister. But when nobody was home, she doesn't believe there was any reported problems in the in that apartment. And that was one and a half, 2 years before Leah was murdered. But she doesn't know if it's the same Jessica. So, thought that was, you know, interesting. Like I said, leads right back to the maintenance man. A lot of people, you know, friends and stuff claim that Leah and Jessica had no problems. I tried contacting Leah's father, but the email I had found, it no longer worked. But I know they said they're trying to, he's trying to keep, you know, the memory alive and stuff. Which I did talk to one of her friends the other day, And she was, you know, happy that her story hadn't been forgotten. Because 10 years is a long time. Let's see. See, somebody messaged me. I tried finding the message again. But they messaged me right when I posted about Leah. About their husband worked in the building and got a radio from out of there. And it would randomly come on. Like, I guess, just any time during the day or night, it would just randomly come on. Thought that was kind of interesting, especially coming from a place where, you know, a girl was murdered at. So, see, going back to suspects, somebody mentioned, too, about the killer was a well-known family in Huntington, is why it's a big cover-up. And then it goes back to Jessica, the half-sister, that she was jealous. And locked Leah out a lot. Like I said, don't know if that's true. Like I said, then it talks about, her mom cleaning the apartment and threw away the sweeper bag. Like I said earlier, that could have just been trying to keep her mind occupied. That don't mean she was trying to cover up for somebody. It could, but, you know, you still have both angles to look at. Like I said, her dad talked to her early Friday afternoon, and then he stated, then I called her later on that evening, and her phone went straight to voicemail. The third time I called, so the voicemail box was full. So, and like I said, I don't know if they have video evidence of her at McDonald's, but like they said that her her keys, her coat, and McDonald's wrappings were found. And her car was still outside as a yellow Chevy Cavalier. And let's see. So when she got there, you know, back to the apartment, so you're looking at, you know, her sister sitting around 2 to 4. She said something about she was washing dishes or something, but then they said she was packing her bag, so she was going to spend the night at a friend's house. And like I said, there's no sign of forced entry. Nothing disarray, like there's a struggle. So it kind of brings you to the point that she knew who her killer was, possibly, or they snuck in. Okay, so saying that I have wrote down here, 5:45 conversation with a friend from drive-thru. She made it home, laundry facilities in basement. Like I said, neighbors out of town. They found no activity on her phone or laptop, no cell phone pings after 5:45. So, but like I said, sister, half-sister, seen her at 4 p.m. roughly, went to boyfriend, tried to check on her around 4 p.m. on Saturday. From what I've read was that the mom made her go check on her because where she couldn't get a hold of her all that night, and they said the apartment was locked, bathroom light on, and that Leah, she could tell, had taken a shower. They just talked about no, she had been off, you know, Friday evening, no discussion of doing laundry or going to McDonald's, but, you know, that don't mean nothing. And then they said Leah's rear door to her car was slightly open. And I remember reading in one post that there's a laundry basket in the back seat, and somebody said where her car sat out there, they don't remember seeing a laundry basket, and then eventually it was put in there. But like that's hard. Like it's like the picture I found. It's plainly noticeable, the laundry basket in the back. Well, the thing going back to her sister, they said she had 6 coats and one was missing, and it was a tarnished brown with a fur collar. And like I said, then they said there was no coat missing. So I don't know, it just kind of seems weird there. And then they said the back door to the apartment was open. And see, you're trying to think. Yeah, with the door being open. But her sister said, I don't know, it was on one of the interviews she gave, was that her cats knew how to open the door. first she had said she had to use a key, and then said it was open. So that's kind of a story that's changed a little bit, like I was talking about earlier. So, you know, yeah, you've kind of got to take it up in the air. Like, what basically struck everybody on this is that they said that her sister, well, half-sister Jessica, never showed any emotion during the interviews. But, like I said, you gotta ask the question, does that make her a killer? You know, are they saying that her and her ex-boyfriend, you know, like, teamed up and killed her, or maybe her current boyfriend she had at the time? I just don't see it. Like I said, you can't rule her out, unless, which the cops might have ruled her out. But it's just, like I said, people react different to death, you know. Just because she don't show any emotion, which I know some people say that she's kind of like shy and stuff like that. Which that, when you're in front of a camera, especially when something like this happens, you know, you don't know how you're going to act. You're going to be scared and petrified of everything. And I would be too, you know, being, you know, my half-sister just, you know, went missing and found out, you know, she was murdered, stuffed in a crawl space. And then I'm, you know, on the news and I'm talking about it. You know, I'd be kind of scared because the killer's still out there. Which brings me back to the crawl space. Like I said, if it wasn't overhead, then maybe, well, if she was in plastic, maybe it helps, you know, slide her body around and all that. Because 130 pounds, you know, that's light, but it is heavy, and especially you're thinking dead weight too. But there is speculation maybe she was killed down there and all that. But I think she was killed in the apartment possibly and then just brought down there and hidden. So whoever done it was trying to hide her. But like I said, they'd have to know the crawl space. And some people said it was hard to find. I'd like to see a layout of the inside. But from what I remember reading was that she had, like, well, let's see. The crawl space was like 18 inches in diameter. You know, that's, like I said, she was a small girl. So but I would see like a struggle trying to do that, you know, putting a body in that. I've never tried it, you know, but I don't know, just see. So, if it was her sister, you know, she'd have to have probably help, because not saying women ain't strong or nothing, but, you know, which she could have possibly done it, but it's just, you think there's got to be something where she can lift, you know, Leah around. Unless, you know, she just slid her down. Let's see. Trying to think what else that I'm missing. And, well, if it goes back to the ex-boyfriend that Jessica had, which I guess he could be pretty upset, you know, because some people talk about, you know, the whole, how your mind is after you come back from war like that. You know, it's hard to tell what he's seen. You know, and come back and find out, you know, I guess you kind of see that he was replaced, but I wouldn't see why he'd get jealous. But if they didn't like each other, then maybe, you know, he showed up, you know, and she was alone. You know, very possibility. But then again, you know, he might have just moved on, and I don't know if they ever got his stuff, but like I said, he might have just moved on. But somebody said, too, that it might have actually, his stuff was in the basement, where the crawl space was at. So, you also have that as well. So, he might have known the area if he did come back and get it, and maybe found the crawl space. So, but I really don't know, like I've kind of rambled on in this, you know, jumping back and forth, but, you know, you're looking at Leah, she seemed, everything I've read on her, seems like a really outstanding girl. You know, she seemed like she really nice to anybody, always smiled, you know, nice to everybody. So, I don't know. Because some people talk about, like I said, the half-sister being jealous and all that of her. And I'd like to talk to her, but I wasn't able to locate her. Because, I don't know, it'd be interesting, I guess, to, you know, talk to her on the phone. Or at least, you know, being able to message her and say, hey, you know, can you kind of go back? I know it'd be rough to go back to that time frame, but... But like I said, if my personal opinion, like I said before, if it would have been Jessica, her half sister, I see help. But what's the motive? You know, jealousy can go a big way. You know, that could definitely be something. But why? You know, she was 21. I think her sister, which Jessica would have been, I'm assuming older. And like I said, if they had no problems, why? And if it had been Jessica's ex-boyfriend, you know, just because of him and Leah didn't get along together, why? Like, what's the motive? You know, is it just because he got mad that, you know, she had his stuff thrown out? And, okay, going back, like I said, to Jessica again, if it was her and her boyfriend that she supposedly went to, why? Like, still, that goes back to what's the motive? No, I don't know if... Well, you do have people that, you know, are dating somebody, and, you know, they would help kill for them, but it's still, you know, you're not going to find somebody that, you know, your dating say, hey, will you help me kill my sister with me? You know, that's not going to happen very common. You know, you might have it happen, you know, a couple times here and there, but... Not a lot. Sorry, that was my daughter. Which I'm assuming the cops should have been able to rule her out as well. Because you would think, when she checked on her between 2 and 4, because like I said, first she said it was 4, then she said it was 2, that she was doing dishes, one said, you know, she was packing. Either way, you know, she was home at the apartment from whatever she was doing. So, you're looking at, if she was on a lunch break, which that'd be a long lunch break, but like I said, your mind, you got so many things going on. She just tried to, that was probably, she just roughly knew. Like, you know, you kind of pay attention to time when you're going somewhere, but then again, you don't, especially when something like this, because she never, like, you know, if she didn't do this, you know, she didn't know that was going to be the last time she's seen her sister alive. You know, you just... You go blank. I would think so. Cause that's... Like, when I lost my father and stuff... You know, he wasn't murdered or nothing, you know. But... Like, I had so many thoughts running in my head, like... Sometimes, you know, people will remember the little details and stuff on time. But then again, you're just like... You know, you're like, they're gone. You know, your mind just goes blank. You just feel empty. You know, that could explain why she don't show any emotion. Because she just... There's so much emotion there. It's just... It's like... It's, I don't know how to really... It's saying it's gone, even though it's still there. She's kind of bottled up so much that you just can't feel. And like I said, it's not that you don't have emotion. It's just... People that, you know, have lost someone close, you kind of understand where I'm going at. So, you know, if the time changed a little bit, or a story, like I said, she was home, you know, she had to have went back to work Friday. I'm sure that, you know, would have been checked out, and I'm sure the boyfriend would have been checked out that she went to and stayed with. Which some people said, you know, that could have been her alibi and all that. Which, it's always a possibility, but... I personally could see it being a maintenance man, whether it be the Chuck guy or another maintenance man, had they looked in on it. Because they said there was doing some maintenance work, but it wasn't like nothing major. but there was some stuff being done. Which the owner, I don't think he lives in West Virginia. I think he lives in a different state altogether. Which I don't know if anybody's ever been to the building. It is kind of, I don't know, just pulling up to it, it is kind of like a little creepy place. Which I know they say it's kind of a, back then it was still, I guess, a decent, not decent, kind of like anywhere else. You know, there's stuff happening anywhere. So it's pretty common that stuff happened in that area. And I know, like, when I went, I saw it on the news when somebody spray painted on the side who killed Leah Hickman. Like, when I went, somebody had, you know, whited all of it out. I'd love to, you know, be able to walk in there, but like I said, I don't know really the owner's name and stuff. I know they said they weren't trying, like I said, the woman that said her husband was in there working that got the radio out of there, they were like, doing stuff to it. So he might still be trying to sell the place, but you know, with the girl's body being found in there, it's gonna be hard to sell. Which I kind of wonder, like, if somebody would go in there, which, like I said, I do paranormal stuff, and maybe possibly pick up on Leah. That would be amazing. And it's been known before, the Beckley ghost, I think. The one where the mother had her daughter was murdered and she had a vision of her or whatever in her room at night and said, hey, he's the one that killed me. And then that dude got charged with that. You know, it's not going to happen in today's age. That was like back in the 1800s, but I don't know, my personal opinion on that, like, she was murdered, you know, she was 21, she'd be 31, you know, way before her time. You know, she had long life ahead. You know, she would have been able to get married, have kids, all that. So it's really sad, you know, to see a young girl lose her life like that. And a tragic thing like that, you know, that's kind of, I could see her spirit still being here. You know, because she didn't get justice yet, and hopefully one day she will. I know I'm going to, you know, research on her case and stuff. I might, you know, try to go to her gravesite and stuff like that, and maybe see if I can pick up on something there. I know she's toured out toward Point Pleasant, Mason County area. Which, I'm trying to think, that actually just popped something back in my head about all that, with how she was murdered, being strangled. If there's no sexual assault, because you'd think it was a sexual assault, because she's not an ugly girl at all. She's a very, very attractive lady. You'd think sexual assault, like if it was a stranger off the street, you know, that would have been obvious. Unless there was, but from everything I've read, there's not been any sexual assault. Which, that's why you kind of see it being more targeted if it was just a random stranger. Because most guys, you know, nothing against guys, but usually when it comes to them murdering a woman, a lot of times, you know, they rape them or something like that. It's messed up, but, you know, that's how the world works, sadly, sometimes. So, which it could have been something that just got out of hand, you know. But to me, it would be like kind of, I don't know, what plays in my mind is that, you know, if it's between 6 and 9 when they couldn't get a hold of her anymore, the voicemail and all that, like, she knew the person. Like I said, if there's no forced entry, she invited him in, went back in, you know, to the apartment, maybe. You know, whoever it was, they had an argument, and the person strangled her, and then it's kind of like, you know, what do I do? Like, they made on a minute, so, yeah. Like I said, you just don't really know exactly what, being strangled, I know. it could take a while. I know they say, like, in the movies that, you know, don't seem very long, but it could take, you know, a good few minutes. I think my daughter might be getting up. But, sorry that I rambled on and kind of went back and forth, but, that will be the end of this episode. So, thank you for tuning in, and, we'll see you on episode 4.